Okay. Good morning. How are all of you this morning?
Good.
I said to my wife that you can sure tell that everybody sings here. There are some congregations where only the leaders sing and everybody else watches. But we could hear you singing all the way through this morning. And that's a good thing. So you can say yes. Yeah, good, yeah. Give yourself a hand on that one. I know I've had translation of my messages several times. And one of the things about working with translators is if I have a bad message, they'll make the message sound great anyway. So I'm always in good hands with good translators. And so in this house, this is the second Nancy I've had translate for me. The first one in February. And now Nancy is with us today. So it's all good. We live in a very interesting time. This is not something that we are accustomed to. In the Christian world, the life of the Christian thinking has always been first in most of our cultures. And so now with the rise of different philosophies in our world, the addition of inclusion into our society, the thinking is becoming diverse and different for all of us. What we took as culturally normal at one point is now so diverse that we sometimes don't even recognize it. Yet, human history has not been that way. Our thinking has been much the same for over 150 years in North America. And I know up until the liberation, China was very much the same before that and has been the same since the liberation. But whether it's North America or China, things are changing. At different times in Western history, the focus of humanity focused on very different things. In the time of the Greeks, it was philosophy. In the time of the Romans, it was peace through power. And in the Middle Ages, it was the church where they built large buildings to glorify God and to raise them up so people were always looking to the heavens. Then during the Renaissance, man became the center of the creative universe. Today it's science, materialism, and inclusion. With everybody equal in their scientific makeup. Everyone having opportunity to reach the heights of materialism. And everyone, no matter what their background, included in the great grand society that is being built. In each of those generations, everyone has had a question. During the time of the Greeks, the question was, why do we exist? During the time of the Romans, if I submit, I prosper. The Middle Ages saw us draw near to God. The Renaissance, what can we create? What can we overcome? And today, fact and proof are truth. These are the big questions over the generations. Yet as Christians, we are faced with important questions related to the gospel we profess. We sometimes feel marginalized in our faith today because of the many pressures that are coming against us. And sometimes our own brothers and sisters in the faith try to cope with the changes around them and do not represent the gospel accurately. While there are others who see the value of the gospel as the eternal and never changing truth. Declaring the supremacy of Christ over sin clearly and with great conviction. Some of our brothers and sisters modify what we preach. Trying to meet the needs of modern society by adding a popular spin to the truth. Asking the question, can the gospel of Jesus Christ be effective today without the spin? Does it still have value? Is another interpretation of the gospel of life necessary? Today's message is about the confusions that we face. Hoping that we will be clear about the gospel we follow. What we face today is not new. The Galatians also face similar challenges. These challenges were so strong. Paul started his letter to address these same issues that we face in our modern and ever-changing culture. As we read in the scriptures a few moments ago, Paul was surprised when the Galatians changed their mind. Paul was surprised at how some confused the gospel by changing the gospel of Jesus. He warned to even be careful of a messenger from heaven. And he said that they would be judged by God. But that we should declare a message that pleases God. Not men. Because if we try to make men happy, we would not be serving Christ. So as Paul faced these same challenges in the early days of the gospel, we shouldn't be surprised today. The Galatians faced several ideologies of their day. There were the Stoics. They had gods. The gods' names were one of an ultimate cosmic god. They equated virtuous living with harmony in nature. Virtuous living, people had the power to live in harmony with God. Yet they didn't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, his resurrection or the judgment of the world. The Epicureans were another group. They believe true happiness came by encouraging serenity and avoiding pain. That true pleasure came from living a healthy lifestyle. Friendship was the way for people to find happiness. And they believed death was the end of existence. And finally, the Gnostics believed they possessed a special or secret knowledge. The world was ruled by evil forces, including the God of the Old Testament. They believed that Jesus was a godlike being rather than a living person. They believed he was sent to restore people's knowledge to their origin in the true God. And they believed people were made of body, soul, and spirit. But though some of these may have had portions of the truth spread within them, they were all challenges to the gospel of Jesus Christ in their time. Now we have gospels in our own time that are different than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Modernism and propositional truth are propositional statements that are neither true nor false. Instead of statements from our gospel that say Jesus is the Son of God, a propositional statement says, is Jesus the Son of God? And however you answer, is the answer. And so it's very much different. There's another one is social assimilation. The gradual or unconscious accommodation of ideas and knowledge. This leads to trends of the secular society seeping into the local church. There are those that preach a subjective faith. They depart from dependence on the New Testament as the authoritative source of instruction. They trust in subjective, get in touch with your feelings, feel good, and don't offend anybody philosophies. The gospel of success is another. It reaches a materialistic Christianity. God wants to bless you, so only expect good things from Him. And it ignores suffering of any type. Then there's the gospel deal. That implies we can do business transactions with God. If you give something to God, He'll give back to you with interest. Churches who focus here emphasize on giving more and getting greater blessing. But to make a deal means we have something to offer. But the true gospel says we have nothing to offer. We cannot buy peace with God and eternal life. We can only receive what He gives us. His grace. His unmerited favor. His salvation, where He calls and we respond. Because making a deal with God means equality with God. And though we love to think about it sometimes, though sometimes we think we've got everything under control, we're not equal with God. He is the Creator. We are His creator. Isaiah 55:8-9. It basically says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. And we also need to remember that Jesus had a view of Himself in ministry. The scripture says in Philippians 2:5-11. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And so we see that Jesus view himself was the view we need to have. A humble view. That says, I belong to God. He gives me a gift. I receive it. I hold it closely. Hold it closely. And I live for Him. Not for myself. There are many other gospels out there. There are light gospels. You can find them at the grocery store. Between the light cheese, the light butter, the light drinks. But it doesn't do us any good to just have a part of the gospel. The gospel isn't for light purposes. It's for full expression. You see, the inconvenient truth is this. Many Bibles, many congregations have lost biblical literacy. Many congregations do not explore the Word of God deeply or teach it powerfully. With a solid application made to Christian living. Experiencing God does not always make us feel good every time. We know the destination. We know the destination. Where we're going. We know where we are. But we don't know the path ahead. Some of us will be called to walk a very common path. With his day-to-day challenges. And the need to call on God. Others of us will be called on a path less traveled, where there is suffering and challenge and great declaration through our lives. But whatever path God calls us to, He calls us to understand the gospel. What it means to take up the cross. What it means to be more than conquerors. It is a gospel of discernment, insight, and commitment. It takes the awe of God and celebrates who He is. And celebrates His sacrifice on our behalf. Hebrews 2:9 tells us. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2.
Thank you.
The gospel demands a stand. The gospel saves us. The gospel is this. Jesus lived sinlessly. He died to save us. Not from the world's problems, but from the sin that leads us to greater trial. He rose again in victory over sin. He ascended to confirm our victory. And he will come again to receive us unto himself. Any gospel, no matter how appealing, is not from God. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus ascended and will come again. This is the gospel of life. And we must simply give up our sin for his sacrifice to see his life fully through us. No light gospel, but 100% full gospel. No fillers. There's no deal we can make with God but accept his gift. The best deal is already struck. Christ traded his life for our sin so we can live victoriously in and through him. Paul writes in Romans 1:16. Do you believe today? Do you believe today? Do you believe today? Well, good. But now you sound like you were singing. That's good. Live so the world sees his gospel so that they can be set free. Sees his gospel so they can be set free. You are the messengers of the gospel. You are the letters written to this world. Live it. Be it. And celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in every moment of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Benediction? Later. Okay, just checking. Okay.